sights to show you.
Memes bought a wedding dress.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. So I was like, yeah, what was, I don't know what the connection was. Obviously, Bride of Chucky. And then when she's getting ready, she's like making her dress all goth. I'm like, I should just wear that to the courthouse, like her outfit.
To the courthouse. It's awesome.
Well, speaking of wedding dresses and speaking of weddings.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and get started, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hello.
And joining us this week, a very special guest, Memes, from the Swatch of Horrors podcast.
Hi.
Hey, Memes. How you doing?
Good. I just finished chewing up my lozenge or my drop. My throat was super scratchy, so I'm like, hopefully I can deliver for you guys today.
Oh, you're going to do great. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, otherwise, we'll edit and post. It'll sound all squeaky.
It'll be fun. So yeah, today we're talking about Bride of Chucky as a continuation of our Child's Play franchise.
Yeah, it's been a while. We covered three last January. So
yeah
it's been
been almost a year.
You know, we had to take a pretty big gap, though, because there was a big gap between the first three and this particular movie. So
yeah, they had a lot to work through.
they had a lot, but of course, we got our guest over here, Memes, who I've known for a very long time, actually. Since when? How far back?
I would say, like, slightly before the recession.
So 2007-ish,
yeah,
probably.
Six or seven. Holy shit.
Yeah, around there. Yeah. Been a little bit, yeah.
Now we got a pandemic under our belt, so.
I know, isn't it fun? And then the potential collapse of our economy a second time in our lifetimes. Huh?
Yeah. Huh? Lived through a lot, yeah.
I was a preteen during the first.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Baby.
I was, in 2007, I was 12 or 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was in seventh grade, so. I remember it, but I didn't care because I was just like, that's an adult problem. I don't give a shit.
Oh, it was not a fun adult problem.
No. I can't imagine. No, of course not. Especially a young adult problem where it's your first time out in the wild.
Yeah,
it's like,
so much opportunity. Oh, no, never mind.
Just kidding. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, okay.
That was weird. Like, jobs were just like, you could take any job that you can get at that time.
Yes.
I really think, like, I took a Craigslist job. This is, like, an aside. And I think I was scamming people, and I didn't know. But it was awful. And later I realized, like, I think I was scamming people, like, every day, like, on, like, a phone call thing where I'm just calling people nonstop. So it was, it was quite a time.
Oh, man. That sounds so...
So I'm sorry if I scammed you. It wasn't on purpose.
I knew.
But you did pay the rent that week, so.
Yeah.
Or that month, week.
Like, wait, are you staying at a tenement house in 2007?
In the recession? Who knows? Who knows? I remember going to coffee shop, like coffee shop work, and going back to school was like the route after that.
That's rough.
Yeah, hard times. Hard times indeed. But, you know, coffee and hipster attire eventually became the norm.
Yeah, I was going to say, but this is still pretty hipster. Like, this is still, like...
Oh, that's funny. But, you know, this movie obviously came out in, like, the good times of America.
Good.
1998.
Oh, man.
Back when we had a... no deficit. Was it deficit balance? But I can't
remember. I was going to say no doubt. And I was like, yeah, definitely no doubt.
But with this course, we have an IMDb synopsis. So, Memes,
yes.
What does IMDb tell us about Bride of Chucky?
So, Chucky the doll, possessed by a serial killer, discovers the perfect mate to kill and revive into the body of another doll.
Mm.
Written by Don Mancini, is that
Mancini.
Right?
Mancini.
Oh my gosh, Mancini. I read that right yesterday, and then for whatever reason.
Honestly, the only times I've read it right, like, in, like, pre-production, and then the second I get in front of a microphone, I forget how words work, and I'm like...
Do you guys remember...
Do you remember, like, when John Travolta... I don't remember what award show was. It was years ago. He was trying to introduce, like... I don't even remember her real name now. I just remember her... Oh, Idina Menzel. And he was like, Adela Dazeem. So, like...
Yes.
Oh,
I remember that.
Yeah, it was bad.
Reddit lost their shit.
It was really bad.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So, Okay, written by Don Mancini, directed by Ronnie Yu, and starring Jennifer Tilly, Brad, I'm going to get these so wrong, Brad Dourif.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yay. Katherine Heigl. This one. Okay, I want to say Nick Stabile, because, like, stab, but
I think it's just stable.
Stable?
It's a stupid way of spelling stable, right?
But it's stable.
Oh, gosh. Okay. And of course, rest in peace, John Ritter.
That's
nice. Three's Company. I like had a crush on him. I don't know why. Like,
interesting. I'm just writing that down, taking notes.
Three's Company. Oh my god, that song! I remember that shit.
It's great.
My grandma would watch like the old shows, and like before she like gave up on like she went through all programs.
Uh-huh.
She didn't like Three's Company, but she'd always catch the song before she changed her channel.
See, I saw John Ritter, and I was just like, "Oh wow, it!"
Oh, wasn't it?
Huh? Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was in one of the adults from It, which had come out only 7 years prior. So
he like hasn't aged. I feel like, well, at the time.
Yeah, well,
the
then time, he yeah. died.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was awful. He was so young.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird time. Hey.
All right, so box office. So the budget for this film was about $25 million.
That's a lot.
Mm. Yeah. The release date was October 16th, 1998. So, what, pre-millennium, right?
Mm-hmm. Good old Clinton years like, right there.
Good old Backstreet Boys years, too.
Yeah!
So, it grossed about $50.7 million.
Okay, so it doubled its budget.
Yeah, it did pretty good. It is technically the most successful movie in the series.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it went to, like, you know, Blu-ray right afterwards.
Blu-ray in 1998?
No, I mean, like, oh, you're right. In the next installment in the series.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait. Seed of Chucky was in theaters also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. It eventually got to Blu-ray, right?
Sure. Like I'm just like, please keep digging yourself into this hole. That's funny as shit.
It went to Blu-ray when it could.
When Blu-ray was available in 2010?
Was it 2010? No.
11?
Mm-mm.
12.
No, Blu-ray was available, like, in whatever PlayStation 3 was out. 2005, 2006.
No.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Look it up. 2006.
This every time I say no, yeah. and then you choke me with my words.
Good guess for our random spurts of contentiousness.
2006.
Yes. See? Ha. 2 years after Seed of Chucky, which definitely was on Blu-ray. I don't know why we're on this. But God damn it.
I definitely thought it was like later, but also my sense of time is fucked.
Yeah, mine too. Life's weird.
On that note, Jesus Christ.
You guys want to talk about how this whole movie got made? Take ourselves back to the 90s?
Sure, Anthony.
Yeah, that's definitely a good time for me.
Yeah, I agree.
It also was a good time for me as I was...
a fetus.
I was three. Yeah, I was three. Oh I was God. A child.
Oh, I was prime Spice Girl time right there. So Chucky had a great early 90s career, scarring the nightmares of children all across America, me included. But that came to a screeching halt after Child's Play 3, which we covered again last January. And as you know, it is the rushed one. This one was horrifically rushed. Though it's not all the third movie's fault, as horror in the early 90s, when it came out, was definitely in a weird downward slope. Now, this is the dark times for horror. Early 90s, nobody was making money.
No.
No. Unless you, of course... So, anyways, gone were the easy money days of the 80s, where cheap slashers can rake in profits from ravenous, bloodthirsty teens. Icons like Michael Myers, Jason, and Freddy were all experiencing major setbacks, either behind the scenes or at the box office, actually.
Yeah, so. That's because they all decided, hey, let's go to space.
Yeah, let's do bullshit sequels. Mm-hmm. So unless your film actually starred Hannibal Lecter, success was not a given.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, the sequel to Silence of the Lambs wasn't good.
Yeah, it took a little bit
to get
there.
I don't even remember it.
Hannibal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Red Dragon.
No, Red Dragon was after Hannibal.
And that one was dog shit.
That one was bad. Yeah, that's Edward Norton one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that shit. But of course, luckily horror was about to get a shot in the arm thanks to Wes Craven and our boy Kevin Williamson's landmark 1996 film, Scream. And, of course, to get more on that one, check out our 14th episode.
Was that really our 14th episode?
That was our 14th episode.
Holy shit.
That was a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
Jesus.
This is episode 105?
Oh, wow.
105.
That's awesome.
105, 106,
thanks.
Something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, 105 episodes. Goddamn. Yeah, 105, and that was number 14. So
holy
we're going to be a little rough. We're a little brain back then.
We're bright-eyed, bushy-tailed,
right?
Hopeful
we're...
about the future. There's no COVID in the 14th episode.
Oh, no. I didn't even think
Not
about it in that
time.
Context. Oh, that breaks my heart. But, of course, Scream revitalized the genre completely, and it brought meta-horror to the forefront of the American zeitgeist. It was the thing.
I like how you couldn't say scarring, but you could say zeitgeist.
Yep. I mixed it with scaring, so my mind went stupid. It was like,
could not commute.
Yes, it was stupid. So.
Like your DVD was scratched.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Blu-ray, right?
Like a scratched Blu-ray.
Blu-rays are harder to scratch, yeah. She's staring at me now. I don't know why.
Literally, the second, like, once Blu-ray started coming out, that's also, like, briefly, like, streaming started to become more of a thing around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Pirating
more so, but,
yes.
like, a couple years later, so, like, the 2006, like, 2 years later, streaming was, like, way, way more popular. Like, that's when, like, Hulu was and, like, Netflix started,
yes.
like, streaming.
Yeah.
So I didn't give a shit, like, about DVDs or Blu-rays. I stopped giving a shit, so I just watched stuff.
Do you remember the early selections for streaming services back in the day?
Hulu and Netflix, and Hulu was free.
Yeah, well, I remember Netflix... I don't know if you remember this memes, but...
Yeah.
I remember when Netflix did, like, DVDs to mail to your door.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly what I was going to tell
right?
you about.
I remember the family
that.
Plan where it was like, you can get, like, 6 DVDs, and we'll throw in streaming. And
yeah.
I'm just like, all right.
They threw in streaming.
Because
it
was brand new, because no one had done it before, and now it's the only thing accessible.
I thought it was so stupid at first.
Oh, how stupid you were.
Yes.
We want physical clutter of movies.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
No.
And
I was like, but you don't own it.
Now, literally, I can go talk to my TV and say, hey, I want to watch this movie. And then it's just like, okay, here's the movie.
Yeah, well, it sends your information and voice, though, all to the government. I get
yes.
it. Yeah.
Whatever.
Different times.
Whatever.
Oh, I missed those fucking DVD plans, though. Anyways, back on track. Okay, see memes? This is how the podcast goes.
Did you ever have a Scream mask, though?
I did.
Okay.
I
memes
did.
Memes has not listened enough to know the story, so I'm going to retell it. When I was eight, no, younger than eight, oh, shit. I had to have been, actually, five?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe six? I was trick-or-treating one year, and someone in my grandma's neighborhood had a Scream mask and he scared the shit out of me on purpose, and he had one of those Scream masks that had blood in it. Like,
yeah, that's the one I had.
Oh, well, okay, maybe you're the one who did it. But someone scared the shit out of me, and I was super young, and I ran back and told my dad and my uncle. My uncle, who is 6'3", and at the time, a big... dopey, like, linebacker-looking motherfucker that they stole my candy. They didn't steal my candy. I just said it because he scared me and I was a vindictive little shithead.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, they, like, cornered this, like, probably 10-year-old kid. Like, it couldn't have been very old, but for me, looked like he was ancient. Because I was so young. And he was like, no, I didn't, I swear. And I was just sitting there in the back, like, this, like, evil child, just, like, kick his ass.
Hey, Dad.
Kick his ass. But, yeah, so that was my first experience with Ghostface as a child, and now I'm going to get a Ghostface tattoo and just, you know, laugh.
Yeah. Have it come around.
Yeah.
Have it come around.
What goes around comes around. Now I'm a goth. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, that's funny. Every time it's so malicious.
My sister, when I was visiting, was just like, why do you wear so much bloody stuff? And I was just like, what do you mean? And she's like your earrings, because I have, like, butcher knife earrings.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a Friday the 13th shirt when I was home. And she's like, why do you wear so much scary stuff? And I was like, because I like it. That's a loaded question. We don't have time to get into all of it.
You're like, what? This is normal. It's fine. It's fine. Oh, wait. So you had the blood one, though, memes.
Yeah, I think by the time we were in sixth grade, we started doing, like, haunted houses at my house instead of trick-or-treating, and so me and my friends would come to my house, and then we would do a whole setup and then just, like, pretend we're mannequins and then actually move and then freak people out. So it's pretty good.
I started doing that around my freshman year of high school.
It was great.
Yeah. We used to, like, build rooms and mazes and stuff.
Oh,
it was,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's another one of our episodes, too.
The House is October Built. That's right. But, yeah, building haunts is, like, kind of, like, a staple of, like, my later teenage years. It's so much fun.
What a different pre-COVID time, Jesus.
I know.
Jesus.
I know.
Anyways, back to, again, this thing. So, another pre-COVID time, obviously. Scream was a huge blessing for writer Don Mancini. And producer David Kirshner, who already had a foul-mouthed, smart-ass slasher icon ready for a revamp. So yeah, they had one in the dock. So it was an opportunity for Chucky to change with the times after being dormant for the better part of a decade. It also helped that Chucky was still rather popular, despite not having an entry since 1991. Fucking A.
Jesus.
I know, long time. So, as David Kirshner puts it, quote, "It's fascinating to us that Chucky has secured a place in the North American vernacular. His name is regularly invoked to describe everything from children who act up to bank robbers. A few years back, there was a short person with red hair robbing banks in Mexico, and the headlines referred to him as El Chucko." End quote. Oh, that sounds fun.
El Chucko?
El Chucko.
Like, oh my gosh.
My gamer
sounds
tag,
like the El Chucko place.
El Chucko, the taco place. There you go.
I'd eat there.
If you don't El Chucko your dinner, it's half off. Anyways.
Oh, that's bad.
To adapt, of course, with the changing times, Chucky was going to need more than his quips and a knife, obviously. So, luckily, a small trip to the video store by producer David Kirshner would give the team just what they were looking for, courtesy of a copy of Bride of Frankenstein. Now, what happened there, Meeps?
So, to quote, is it Kirshner or Kushner?
Kirshner. I fucked up that spelling for that one time. Kushner. So,
God damn it,
Kirshner,
Andy.
Just...
To quote Kirshner.
Kushner.
Damn it.
It's a stoner alter ego.
Yep.
So this is what he said. My immediate reaction was, wow, wouldn't it be great if we were able to create a bride for Chucky? By introducing another doll, we'd get to see a whole other side to Chucky. And of course, this is Chucky's 10th anniversary, so it's probably time to get married.
Mm.
So, Don Mancini immediately loved the idea, stating, quote, two dolls running around the country together and killing people a la Natural Born Killer Dolls, or Barbie and Clyde. How cute.
I like Barbie and Clyde a lot. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So as soon as they knew the direction they were going, they fleshed out Tiffany at rapid pace, giving her the Martha Stewart homemaker dreams with a side of serial killer aspirations and huge love for Charles Lee Ray.
Ah, okay. Tiffany.
I like Tiffany. How she also mentions Martha Stewart, too. Like, I'm like, oh, she likes Martha Stewart.
Three times.
Mm.
So, Tiffany allowed the filmmakers to go deeper into Chucky's backstory as well, providing even more background to the slasher icon and humanizing him as best they could. Well, he's definitely an asshole. That's what they were trying to do. I mean,
mission accomplished.
Now they unlocked, like, in particular, how he's an asshole throughout his life. I think that's a good that's a good angle. It's like, oh, he's actually a piece of shit to his girlfriend and everything. Okay,
he's an actual misogynist. Mm-hmm. Here's why.
And it was an opportunity to see a different side of the killer doll while also incorporating commentary on family values and relationships.
He's a misogynist. Here's why.
Yeah, very problematic. So, Kushner explains, quote, Tiffany represents Chucky's Achilles heel in that his feelings for her cause him to be vulnerable, and you think about it, that's really a pretty hilarious state in which to see this little, help me here.
Napoleonic.
The Napoleonic tiny terror. Gosh, that English degree is not paying. So, as Mancini wrote for Tiffany, he only had one actress in mind to play the role. So, Oscar winner Jennifer Tilly. So, I really remember her in Liar Liar. I thought she was pretty good.
Yes.
Liar, liar. What did she win an Oscar for?
Oscar nominated.
Okay. I was just like, what was she nominated for?
It wasn't Bound. It was around the same era. What movie was it? I can't remember.
She's one of those actresses where you're just like, you know who she is and she stands out, but I'm like, I don't remember what I saw her in.
It's her voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very signature voice.
But I will say, liar, liar, like, young me was like, that's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Okay.
Me now, watching Bride of Chucky.
Oh, now I'm just like, oh my God.
That is a little rough. So, realistically, he felt that this is a long shot, but knowing that she would be his ideal choice helped him write the character as the perfect complement to Brad Dourif's menacing killer doll. So with the script in hand, now all they needed was a director, and they were about to get a very good one.
Yeah, they were. Ooh. Damn, Jennifer Tilly's so goddamn hot in this movie.
Okay, do you want to talk about Jennifer Tilly now or later?
We'll talk about it later. I have a hard time.
Please tell me you have a question specifically dedicated to Jennifer Tilly in the discussion.
I can add it right now. I don't know. I just figure it's going to pop up throughout the thing. Because
both Anthony and I are, like, in love with Jennifer Tilly.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Like, madly. Like, it's to a fault. It's it's kind of embarrassing. Like, she's the blueprint for, like...
perfection, yeah.
Well, also, like, goth girls we want to bang. Oh, like,
so. Very specific.
Yeah. It's, like, her and Faith Lehane from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, my gosh.
The 90s.
This is a time to go through puberty, I'll tell you that right now.
Fair enough. To have access to all of this in retrospect and also be discovering it. Like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So once the project was announced, studios bombarded Mancini and Kushner. Is it Kushner or Kushner?
Whatever, dude. Kushner.
With reels of young, up-and-coming directors who felt they would do the best job with the project. While it was flattering for the duo, a trip to the theater to watch Ronnie Yu's Hong Kong hit... The Bride with the White Hair, they were so amazed with his work that they knew they did not want anyone else.
Yeah.
So, when Ronnie Yu finally read the script, he found the humor and romance surprisingly engaging, but there was still the trouble of how to film it, considering there were three films prior that established a certain visual style. Yu was relieved when the duo told him they had no interest in replicating the old movies, and would rather treat it as a soft reboot.
Mm-hmm. It kind of is.
It is.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah.
There's a moment in the movie where one of the characters is just like, how did you end up here? And Chucky is just like, that would take like 3 or 4 movie length. Like,
just to do it justice.
Just to do it justice.
Yeah.
And I was just like, very funny, Chucky. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, this is the fourth movie. It's the fourth movie. So on this, Yu says, quote, they were willing to let me incorporate my own interpretation of the script in the film, to let me tell the story with color and movement, and that was very interesting to me, unquote. So with this level of creative freedom, Ronnie Yu signed up immediately. Now they needed to cast the bride. Actress Jennifer Tilly wasn't a fan of horror at the time, but was sent a script anyway. And despite her lack of interest in the genre, she absolutely loved what she was reading. In her words, quote, I thought the script was a departure from your usual horror film in that it was funny and witty and had a lot of black humor. Besides, it's not every day you're asked to be the bride of the world's most notorious doll, unquote.
Now I imagine in my heart Jennifer Tilly saying this exact sentence.
Mm-hmm.
That damn voice.
I know, she has her voice. So another motivation for Tilly was the opportunity to work with Ronnie Yu, who she was a big fan of thanks to his contributions to Hong Kong cinema. Thanks to Mancini's witty script, the team was able to secure their ideal choices to star in and direct Chucky's return to cinema. But of course, there are more characters than just Chucky and Tiffany in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, right, it wouldn't be a Chucky film without Chucky. And Brad Dourif was totally on board, obviously.
He was not going to go anywhere.
Brad Dourif, you could call him right now and be like, hey, want to do a Chucky movie? And he'd be like, fuck yeah.
The producer saw dozens of young actors for the roles of Jade and Jesse, but knew that once Katherine Heigl and Nick Okay, Nick Stable.
Stable.
I want to still call him Stabble. Stabble.
Or Stabile, some shit.
Yeah, let's incorporate a stab in there. Read together that they were perfect for the part. Julia Stiles, Stiles was also in contention for the part, but dropped out of the film for 10 Things I Hate About You.
Great movie.
Probably for the best.
God, that's a good
yeah, one. I can't really see her as a Bride of Chucky, or in this movie, actually, yeah.
Katherine Heigl's probably, like, a really, probably the best choice here. Also, Nick Stable, like, correct me if I'm wrong, he kind of looked like a Dollar General version of Sean William Scott, no?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
To me, Dollar General, so not Dollar Tree.
No, even worse.
98 cents.
The 99 cent store version of Sean William Scott. Like, the whole time I was like, you kind of look like him if he had darker hair and was, like, buff.
He just seems so bland to me.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. That is absolutely what I mean.
Without any of the personality.
Sean William Scott has, like, you know, screen presence.
He does, yeah.
You know what
He's
I mean?
He's got an energy to him. That, exactly. Like, Nick Stable has, like, no energy in any scenes.
Agreed. That's why I said it. Only in, like, face. Like, I was just like, you look kind of, if you squint, you kind of look like Sean William Scott. Also is the 90s, so I was kind of, like, in that headspace anyway.
That, and I can't picture 10 Things I Hate About You without Julia Stiles, so I'm glad she made that decision.
Julia Stiles could do Bride of Chucky, but Katherine Heigl couldn't do 10 Things I Hate About
Exactly.
You.
Exactly. Exactly.
Katherine Heigl really can't do a lot of things. That's all I'm going to say.
But, man, she would have been not good in 10 Things I Hate About You. I'm glad we got Julia Stiles for that. That's a goddamn good movie.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see... Okay, this is, like, kind of going off track of a Julia Stiles tangent, but somebody, like, recently did, like, a side-by-side... scene of Julia Stiles dance scene in Save the Last Dance, and it was the scene where she was supposed to, like, be showing everybody up and, all the moves.
Yes.
Now that you watch it, now you're like, oh my god.
It's embarrassing.
It's so cringe.
Yes.
Oh. It's yes. Please so rewatch it.
For those at home, Julia Stiles is, like, auditioning or doing something at, like, this dance academy where it's, like, she's going against the status quo and she's, like, doing, like, urban dance moves.
Hip-hop moves.
And it is the cringiest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
It's bad.
Please watch it.
I gotta rewatch this.
And at the time, it was like, oh, she's hip and happening. She's hot shit. She's, like, showing everyone what's up. And, like, all the judges are, like, blown away but impressed at, like, her moves and her skills. And holy shit, it's embarrassing.
I'm so gonna find this as soon as I fucking can. That sounds hilarious. Because I used to watch Save the Last Dance a lot when I was younger. I did. It was a good movie.
The soundtrack was really good.
Soundtrack was awesome.
Casey
and JoJo opened that bitch, huh?
Oh my god.
It was like the middle school, like, slow dance song that you'd wish somebody would dance with you with, and nobody would dance with you.
It was.
Well, nobody danced with me.
Ugh. No, I just, you know, when our parents would play it in the car, I'd just be, like, sad thinking about, like, she doesn't like me.
I'm glad we all had the same exact middle school experience. Only, for me, once I did get to middle school, I had an iPod, so I could just listen to it myself and just listen to it over and over and over and over.
When I was in middle school, rich people had iPods.
Yeah, I think
they were called Zooms.
Oh, gosh. I think I was still recording songs off the radio with, like, the tapes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I did also do that. But when I say iPod, I'm talking about, like, the shitty clip-on iPod shuffles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ones that you had
pointless.
The ones you had to plug into your computer to upload shit onto.
Yep. Oh yeah. I remember those. Jesus.
All right. So back to this David Kushner guy. He personally reached out to the late John Ritter for the role of Police Chief Warren Kincaid. Ritter said he would think it over after reading the script, but when he told his kids he was offered the part in the new Chucky movie, it was apparently all they talked about. Impressing his children, he signed on for the part.
So he just did it just to, like...
Oh, yeah. Now, the way he describes it in the interviews, it's like, they wouldn't shut the fuck up. Like, they're like, you're gonna be in Chucky movie, right? You're gonna be the Chucky. They're just like, he's like, as far as they know, this is the most important movie of his whole career. As long as he got to be in the Chucky movie. But then they actually also wanted him for a part in Child's Play 3, but it was, like, such a bit part, he didn't take it.
Yeah,
but they got it for this, so.
Yeah. He really, like, pulled off a lot of, put out, what is it, like, mall cop vibes in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a dickhead in this.
But, like, undeserved authority, I think, is the underlying thing for his character. Like, he's definitely pushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jennifer Tilly was very nervous leading to her first voice acting sessions for Tiffany, seeing as she'd never done voiceover work before, but Brandura.
God damn it, Anthony. Hey, we have guests. You can't just invite people into our home.
That's two errors.
And then...
It's a different guy, Brandura. He's still nice.
Brandura was a huge help. After a few hours, the two actors were joking and ad-libbing and overall just having a great time. Dorf told the producers after the first day session, quote, "Why didn't I get a girlfriend earlier?"
He would.
Speaking of Chucky and Tiffany, the animatronics also received an upgrade and were being worked on months before production ever began. And this is a part where I'm super interested in hearing more about, because I was, like, kind of impressed with the way, like, their mouths moved and dolls, you know, and no CGI, right?
No.
Yeah, this is completely different in comparison to, like, the first movie, which was just, like, one guy with, like, a couple sticks just being like, oh, making it work.
No, this is, like, they were super advanced, and this is all practical. Like, there's no CGI effects.
I didn't know this was all practical.
Mm-hmm. All practical. But of course, the new dolls were 2.5 feet tall and were operated by 16 puppeteers between two dolls. So that's a lot. Chucky himself had 9 different puppets constructed for him. The hero puppet, which was, of course, the most advanced and it had a very wide range of movements. 2 rod puppets to just kind of like sulk around. And 6 stunt puppets, some of which were essentially floppy rag dolls.
Just to like throw.
Just toss them. Yeah. So Tiffany was actually the more advanced of the two puppets, but both shared several different heads with an expression on each and lots of facial movements. So the way it would work is they would actually put points on one of the puppeteer's face. Any expression he made on his face, Chucky's face would also make that expression.
Chucky or Tiffany?
Chucky or both Chucky.
Oh,
and
both
Tiffany.
Of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so like whenever you see them talk, they're actually reading the lines accurately because somebody's lips are basically have a bunch of wires on them and is pulling something and pushing the same time Chucky's doing it.
Ah.
Yeah, it's fucking, there's a whole behind the scenes on YouTube. It looks really cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Like, really impressive.
Right? Yeah, it took 3 puppeteers alone to handle it because he needed the voice work guy and then he needed like the other emotions like the eyebrows and all the other shit. So it was a whole thing. But of course, they also had the computer playback operator and a puppet coordinator to work with the director and let them know, like, hey, emote more.
Well, the emotions and, like, the emoting in this is, like, really intense. Like, Tiffany in particular, like, I was just like, holy shit. Like,
they gave her a character.
Yeah.
They gave her a straight-up fucking character. It's pretty cool. But of course, with so many people working on the two puppets, coordination was key in order to get the desired performances. So on this, Ronnie Yu states... quote, "Working with puppets and the many people needed to control them is much more difficult than directing the most temperamental actor. Organization and communication are key because with 14 or 15 people to coordinate 14 or 15 things, that can go wrong at any given moment." He did seem a little overworked when I saw the interview.
Yeah. He was just like, "I haven't slept in 3 days."
Yeah. Fucking just nightmares about this shit.
Right.
But this was a source of frustration actually for the actors. So if the puppets had to pick up an object, it resulted in hours of setups. So as Nick Stable puts it, quote, "I had absolutely no idea the amount of time and tedious work that it takes to get a puppet to light a cigarette." Can see it. Totally see it.
Right.
So Katherine Heigl found acting against the puppets difficult at first, as she had no realistic experience to pull from for her character's motivation. To quote her, "I mean, what could I possibly relate to? I had never in my life had any kind of experience that I could relate back to killing a doll."
What do you mean? You've never been, you know, like, running away with your wayward lover and, you know, there's... 2 dolls with... What? Of course not, Katherine Heigl. You...
Yeah.
I feel
it's called acting.
Yeah.
I know.
Wait. What kind of roles do you take? She does the drug dealer role really good. Holy... That's weird.
I knew in Grey's Anatomy there was something off.
But of course, Jennifer Tilly, on the other hand, found working with puppets to be a nice change of pace. Saying, quote, "The good thing about acting with a puppet is that they never get in your lights, and they never try to upstage you by ad-libbing because their lines are already done." That's good. But of course, because of the space needed to operate these puppets, the film was mostly shot on sound stages in Vancouver, Canada, over the course of 12 weeks, long shoot. So Tiffany's trailer was the most complex of the sets built, actually. But alas, with all that hard work and puppeteering, Chucky was ready once again for the big screen.
Woo!
What's up, Webster? What's what you got?
So, in order to promote Bride of Chucky, the killer doll had a guest spot on WCW Monday Nitro.
Yeah.
He interrupts a promo between Gene Okerlund and Rick Steiner. Oh my god.
I forgot to watch this bit. Damn it.
That's very funny.
I wanted to watch the promo.
Reviews for Bride of Chucky can be seen as mixed at best. Roger Ebert didn't even review this one.
Oh, our boy.
He would have just said, "It's shit, don't see it."
Mm-hmm.
One positive review came from Mick LaSalle of the San Francisco Chronicle, stating, quote, "No one will confuse Bride of Chucky with a classic like Bride of Frankenstein, but anyone looking for nasty laughs will be delighted," unquote. Entertainment Weekly was less than enthused, saying, quote, "At one point, when Tiffany's still a fleshy villainess rather than a plastic one, she reads Voodoo for Dummies. Bride of Chucky is teen horror for dummies," unquote.
Damn.
I personally love that scene when she's, like, holding the voodoo.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
That was so, like, such a 90s thing.
It was
for sure.
Or dummies books, like.
Oh my god, that's, like, yes, that's fucking 90s pure.
So, there were definitely more negative reviews than positive ones, but as is often the case in this podcast, this meant precisely jack shit for audiences, as there was a surprisingly large demand for Chucky. So, Bride of Chucky released on October 16th, 1998, to a $11.8 million weekend, ultimately becoming the highest grossing film of the entire franchise, with a $50.7 million total.
Mm-hmm.
So, after 2 days in the box office, a sequel was greenlit, and it was to be titled Son of Chucky. Though they couldn't secure Ronnie Yu, he was destined to work with more horror icons in the long-awaited grudge match. But we'll talk about that when we get to Freddy vs. Jason.
Eventually.
Many years.
Yes, many years from now.
So, this left the director's chair open for Don Mancini. But before we get ahead of ourselves, we have to see how Bride of Chucky is revered now. And honestly, what better way to do that than via Letterboxd?
Yay! Memes gets the Letterboxd.
Hell yeah.
Do it.
So these are reviews from just people.
Right? Yes.
These are just from common folk.
Mm-hmm.
Us common folk.
Okay. Cool. Bride of Chucky has a 2.8 rating out of 2,200 reviews.
That's it?
Yeah, small.
Holy shit, okay.
So, Robin gives this film 5 stars with their one-line review saying, "I have no time for people who don't like this masterpiece."
Honestly? Yeah, like, don't take yourself so seriously.
It's pretty hilarious. Like, yeah, it's good. Alex Todd gives the film 3.5 stars saying, quote, "This is easily the best of the series for me. This is everything I wish the first two were. I loved almost every second of it." And he says, "I'm not too keen on the ending. I expect nothing less from the director of Freddy vs. Jason." And this person, user, says, the name is Fake Shempmith.
Shempmith?
So weird.
Why did you pick this person?
I don't know.
Doesn't provide a rating, but still states on the letterbox that the only rom-com with Catherine What's-Her-Face I'll watch. That is a very accurate statement
there.
And Ty says in their 3.5-star review, "If Chucky can find love, then so can I."
Which is true.
There's hope. Yeah, and Chucky's an asshole, too. So, I mean, if he can find somebody, there's definitely hope.
Thanks.
But how many people can find a Jennifer Tilly? Come on.
I can try. I told you I have high standards.
Yeah, that's true.
Bride of Chucky has become a fan favorite film in the franchise, but one that also marked a huge shift in tone for our favorite little killer doll. Despite being the most successful film in the franchise, however, its sequel would take around 6 years to finally reach theaters and undergo a name change as well. But we'll get to Don Mancini's directorial debut in Seed of Chucky another time. Oh my gosh, so they bang. They have the doll gives birth somehow.
You missed it. They bang in the movie.
Oh gosh.
And the pregnancy, yeah, there's the birth at the end of the movie.
Oh god, no.
It's really, no, they bang in the movie. It's very like A-team like sex scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's hilarious. So I think I was watching this like right after eating turkey, and I was just like, oh, I want to sleep now. But it was great. What I saw was like very like 90s humor, cheesy but hilariously ridiculous. It was just great.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a bucket of fun. All right.
Yeah. Did I get through my part? Yeah.
I think you did. We got to talk about this movie with Catherine What's-Her-Face. Let's do it.
Yay!
Which, by the way, before we get into this, I will still say Knocked Up is a good movie. Did you like Knocked Up? No?
That's because you like Seth Rogen. Yeah. That's because you like Seth Rogen.
It's a good movie, all right? You know, I'll watch that and Bride of Chucky with Catherine What's-Her-Face.
Actually, no. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay. All right. Accepted.
Tentatively.
All right, so now that we're here, what's everybody's thoughts on Bride of Chucky now? Memes, you couldn't finish it. So no, you gotta kick us off.
Yeah, okay, well, I did take some notes.
Notes!
Oh, that's so prepared. I love that.
You're so prepared.
Oh. I would totally, like, forget. So I did like the Hitchcock effect when she was doing the voodoo, reading the voodoo for dummies.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of cool. When she was trying to revive Chucky. And definitely, okay, here's kind of my, like, observation. So, from what I know, so Chucky is a serial killer human in a doll's body, right?
Yes.
So, when Jennifer Tilly's character gets transformed into the doll, and then she's, like, dolling herself up, and then Chucky's, like kind of turned on by, he's like, oh, she's hot. So wouldn't that be like a human being attracted to like a doll?
I mean, technically they're two humans in doll bodies.
Yeah, but then also their bodies gradually turn human the longer they're in them.
Oh.
So he's like his own thing. It's fucking weird.
Oh yeah, the longer he's in it, the more human, or like the more
like the doll has flesh and like, you know, organs. Yeah.
So creepy.
That's why whenever he dies, it's like blood and guts. Cause
yeah, there's a line where he says he's anatomically correct, so let's just even have that.
And then also, people never assume someone's going to propose to you and then waste 10 years of your life thinking you're engaged to the serial killer, but yeah, that's all.
And that's our dating advice. Yeah. Corner.
Set a date. Oh my gosh. What else did you have in your notes then? That's an interesting observation right there.
I think that was it. Oh. It was just, yeah, and the whole, like, mall cop thing with John Ritter, I don't know, it was very fun. It was interesting to me.
This also, as someone, okay, so this movie has pre-transition Alexis Arquette in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the goth guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So this was, like, the one of the most brutal kills for me, because I used to have like that lip ring, like,
yeah
I used to have that, like, I used to have a LeBray lip piercing, and I the first time I saw this movie, I had it when I watched it, and I had to look away. I was like, yeah. I literally had it in my face.
I still look away to this day. I can't. It's
like,
it's...
I'm like playing with the scar I have still, just like thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I can't do it. But yeah, I used to have
really a well done kill
too. Yeah, I used to have that same lip piercing, like a hoop in my lip, and I was just like, nope, can't do it. Gotta go.
With all those chains and on his lips or where, it was just a lot going on. I mean, he was just asking for it.
Yeah. Okay. What a little shithead too. But no, I actually, I've seen this movie before. And I actually liked it significantly more this time around. Mm-hmm. I think I was just going through a really rough time the first time I watched it. But I really did enjoy it. It's very fun.
Yeah,
it's like, fun. It's deliriously fun.
Well, to me, like, so my history with this one is, I used to be scared of Chucky. I talked about this in every episode. Chucky yes. scared the shit out of me.
Please tell me this made you not scared of Chucky.
It did.
Okay, good.
You know what helped, though? So
Jennifer Tilly.
I think oh my god, yeah, absolutely. No, hey, yes. What? Jennifer Tilly for one. But I remember this is, I think I mentioned before, I watched this trailer came on and I didn't know it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. One of the movies we were watching as a kid, because my dad likes to take us to the movie theater. And we were watching and a Universal trailer popped up and it's like, oh, Universal movie. And it's the opening scene where she kills the cop and then she has the Chucky face next to her. And that's the reveal, right?
Oh.
So I didn't know it was going to be a Child's Play movie. I was like, what's this very interesting movie from Universal that has Hottie over here, Jennifer Tilly, getting something out of this bag? What's in the bag?
What's in the box?
And when they pull out Chucky's face and it cuts to him laughing and doing his Chucky laugh with this new fucked up look, I freaked out. I freaked out in the theater. I put my head in, like, my dad's shoulder. I'm like, I don't want to look. And, like, it was that bad. Like, it was fucking horrible. But they did a making of
Bride of Chucky. It pulled you into a false sense of security.
It did. This fucking thing did. But the voiceover was very cheesy. So I thought in my mind, I was like, wow, that's very different. but then they leading up to the movie, they did a making of. And I watched it, and I'm like, hey, I can sit and watch. And then I think we actually went to the theaters to watch Bride of Chucky. And it was, like, a big deal. Because I had to get over that fear. Like, I
literally... They're like, okay, we're going to take you. Like, you got to get over it.
Yes, like, I have to sit in the dark theater and watch the movie. I can't not watch it. There's no way out of this, so...
You can't leave.
Nope, can't leave. Uh-huh. Yeah, I had to suck it up and go. And I loved it. Yeah, I actually really liked it.
So just immersion therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it got me. So to this... Now it's like... I still like the movie a lot. I think it's, I don't know. It's a very good, it's surprisingly well-paced. Like, there's not a lot of lulls in the movie.
This is also a quick and dirty 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's an easy 90 minutes. It is, however, and I think people got to understand this going into it, it is a lot more absurd than even the past three movies leading up. Like, this is one of the more, like, absurd Chucky movies.
I'm like, remembering over the past 2 years of this podcast, and I'm just like, okay, we've done three. I'm like, mm-hmm. The first one. Good. Second one.
Very good.
Was the second one really good? The
second one, I think, was our contention for favorite for a while.
Was it?
Yeah. That's the one.
I'll have to re-listen to the episode. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. But then the third one is the third one's just dorky. But then it kind of follows down that path into Cheeseville. And it just goes, it takes a hard left into camp. And, like, this is just so cheesy and so campy and meta.
Mm-hmm. Meta as well.
Don't take it seriously. Like, you gotta just take it and...
Yes.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah. Just take it.
No, definitely. But this segues into a good thing we're going to talk about here, though. How is Bride of Chucky reflective of post-Scream horror? You know?
I think... I'll take this one.
Yeah, go for it. Give us the epidemic lowdown.
So, I think Scream, because it was so, like, I mean, it was meta. It was self-aware. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of gave a lot of other horror franchises and a lot of other horror movies permission to be meta.
Yeah.
They took that permission and they ran with it.
Oh,
and they ran into the ground with it, unfortunately. But before it got that far, we thankfully have something like Bride of Chucky, where you have the funny stuff where Chucky says, like, you know, to tell you that whole story, it's going to take 3 to 4 feature-length movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or stuff, or, you know, Jennifer Tilly sitting there reading a voodoo for dummies, or, like, stuff like that, where it's very self-aware. Like, yeah. It knows what it's about.
It knows how ridiculous the premise is.
Right. Sure. So it was able to take that and run with it, before everyone else takes it and runs with it and runs it into the ground.
At least Don Mancini got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, he can tell he's been waiting to do a movie like this for a long time.
Yeah, and I think Scream kind of just gave them the permission in the sense that it's like, oh, we can do this and it can be profitable. Because I think the big fear that everyone has, and I think a problem with Hollywood, is that they won't make a movie if they don't think it's profitable. And we've talked about that, like, a bajillion times on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
So I think that was a big part of it.
I think too, like, it paved the way for the scary movies. So I'm looking and it says, like, they came out in 2000. The first one, Scary Movie.
Oh, the Scary Movie franchise? I actually, confession time, question mark, I've never seen any of them.
Oh my god, we're watching for the podcast.
I've never seen any of them. I'm not a comedy person.
That's true. She is not a comedy person. That's
I hate fun. So it's been,
You know it's coming.
So it has been explained to me, I hate fun.
Yeah, fun's very exhausting.
I love fun.
I know you do. You love comedies. You like laughing. I like laughing, but also I like. I realized, by the way, it's not that I hate comedies. I just I almost exclusively like black comedies. Like
it's
I like
be dark.
I have it, yeah. It has to be a dark comedy, and I will enjoy it.
That makes sense. I can see it.
You do like music, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met somebody who was like, I'm not really into music.
And
I was
what? Like,
that's kind of...
Did you hit them?
Well, it's
do
like,
you have a soul?
Well, I've never met someone who's just like, yeah, I just don't listen to music.
I don't understand
it's strange.
No, I have to drive places. I need...
Right, like, what do you... Like, I mean, or do they just turn on the radio and listen to whatever's on the radio?
He's like, I like Rush Limbaugh. Nope.
Like, what? Anyway, yeah, that person definitely, like, just had some traumatic history attached to music, and they didn't want to talk about it.
Maybe.
That's so weird. So, but no, I love music.
But in terms of, like, I think post-scream horror also, I think this does another couple rules, which I think you gotta have, like, a... I would say, like, the cast has to have a certain look to them. Like, they're not, like... I don't think Catherine Heigl would work in an 80s slasher. She'd only really work in something a little more contemporary. Nick Stalko, whatever.
Well, she has that, like, and maybe it's just because it's Katherine Heigl, and I have this, like, vision of her permanently etched into my brain as being a 2000s, like, actress. Mm-hmm. But, like, seeing her in this, I'm like, you're a 2000s actress. This is a 2000s movie.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of campiness attached because she's in it, almost.
Yeah. And then there's also, I think, a certain level of slickness. Like, you can't make a cheap-looking post-screen movie. And this doesn't look cheap. Like, it looks pretty expensive. Like, it looks like that $25 million
budget. I was going to say, it's a $25 million budget. It better not look cheap.
Yeah, but I mean...
Although, I have seen some high-budget movies that look very cheap.
But I mean, think about it, though, because post-Scream is like, they had Wes Craven behind that camera.
Yeah.
So, you know,
oh
you're
going
to need a talent to get your movie across.
Okay, quick aside, I'm so sorry, memes. Did you see that they started and finished filming Scream 5 in, like, 2 weeks?
That's it?
Yeah, it's gonna be dog shit.
No.
Yeah. Aww. 2 weeks.
Dude, what
Tristan texted me and was like, it was like they finished already. They started and I'm like, I didn't even know they started. Yeah, they filmed Scream 5 in like 2 weeks.
Does it take place in one location? This is ridiculous.
I hope so. It better. It better be like one continuous shot or like...
Oh,
yeah,
that's heartbreaking.
I know. I'm like, oh god, it's gonna be dog shit.
Take the time in the oven. Fuck.
So what do you consider as like too long for... Like, how many weeks is too long, and how many weeks is good?
We've covered a couple. So, no, a lot of stuff does get shut in, like, 3 weeks. Like, we've known a couple movies to at least do that. Two seems, like, way rushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just reading the text messages. That, like, this was, like, in the November 18th, they finished on Scream 5.
Huh. Okay.
And they started probably, I think, like, the beginning of November. Like, it was like a 2 week, like, more or less, like...
Hey, I don't understand that. That's weird.
Yeah, I also finally saw a photo of Kevin Williamson, so now I can put a face to a name.
Oh, not yet. But, okay, so this is our opportunity to talk about good old Jennifer Tilly.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what does the character of Tiffany bring to the series, and could another actress have played this role?
Okay, I'll answer the second one first. No.
No.
Hearts.
Me?
I can't see it.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I don't know who. Maybe, yeah, no.
No, she's too distinctive, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this role is, like, perfect for her.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was written for her, and it kind of shows.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it was written for her, so
yeah.
I think it's really hard to, like, say I could picture anyone else as Tiffany.
You gotta have that, like, that certain old Hollywoodness to you, and be hotter than hell. It's two very important things that Jennifer Tilly has in spades.
It's true. No, the whole, like, her whole character arc, I think she's a delight. Like, mm-hmm. even though she's super psycho, like, she's great, you know?
Yeah, I like how that she is very unconditionally, like, in love with Chucky.
She's in love with Chucky to, I think, a degree. I think she's in love with the idea of being in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a hopeless romantic. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a hopeless romantic. And, like, because, like...
And she wants to fix Chucky.
Yeah.
She had, like, that side dude for a while, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough.
Was, like, but then she even said that same thing. She was like, I'll only have sex with someone if I'm in love with them. And I was just like, you are a hopeless romantic, my mm-hmm. girl.
Mm-hmm. I felt that.
But, yeah, so it was, you know, really, I don't know, I really like her character. Mm-hmm. I like that she was able to embed herself into the franchise to the point that, like, even though she doesn't show up until the fourth movie, mm-hmm. she is, like, on the same level of iconography as Chucky.
Yeah, she's a stable. She's an absolute stable.
She had, like, a good balance of, like, badass and, like... sweetness and
yes. softness,
you
know, yeah.
I'm like Martha Stewart, and I want to be a wife, and I've waited for you for so long.
She waited for him for 10 years.
That's too long.
Like, move on, girl.
Think about it. Like, 10 years ago, where were you? And, like, what would you wait for? No, I'm not. Mm-mm.
I was 15.
See, imagine waiting for yeah your 15-year-old crush.
Ooh, no.
Oh, God.
Me thinking about the people I was attracted to when I was 15, I just want to crawl into a hole and die.
Yeah, you know, I blame social media for, like, constantly embarrassing myself because it's like they always, like, Facebook always does the memory thing.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. 9 years ago, this is what you said. I'm like, oh, why did I say that? That's so stupid.
I know. I did so much vague posting and I didn't think.
Oh, vague booking?
Yeah. When I was like, I mean, again, this is like 10 years ago. So I'm like in like high school and I did so much, like, I did like a lot of lyric posting. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of like, I had so much fun today, smiley face. I was like, yes. What did I do today?
Oh my god, I did that so, I was like,
ugh. I was like, what the fuck did I do that day that was so fun? Be more specific past me.
Wow, that was a good year.
What?
You probably talked to your crush that day, and then your crush was reading that post, and it was so vague, and you just mm-hmm. it was just enough to give them that hint.
You
saw your crush online. That's what it was. And you're like, hey, to get...
We both, like, we mutually poked each other on Facebook or something. Like, it was stupid as hell.
But while they're scrolling and refreshing their feed, you wanted to come up on their feed, so you posted because you saw the little online thing. That's what happened.
Is that... Oh, my God.
That's how it worked back then. You're like, yeah, great breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Oh, Jesus.
I look back and I'm just like... Even though, you know, I was in my whatever early 20s back then. Uh-huh. But even then, I'm just like, man, you were dumber.
Yeah. As someone who, well, I'm not in my early 20s anymore, but like as someone who is in their 20s, I'm like, I'm still dumb, but that's okay.
Yeah, that doesn't change.
There's still time, don't worry.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. My brain's done, at least.
I mean, I look at my post from like 2 years ago, I'm like, fuck, you didn't know how that was going to turn out, did you, buddy?
I am not the person to be talking to about that shit.
Oh, boy.
I look at posts from when I was, like, 23, and I was just like, oh, my God, you're a whole-ass engaged person. And now I'm just God, like, oh, right? My God.
Different life. Jesus. Okay, wow, that was a big detour. Anyways.
Memory lane. But no.
No matter how many years, though, Jennifer Tilly's still fine.
It's true. I follow her on Twitter.
To this day.
She has a, like... not hyper realistic, but she has like a genuine Tiffany doll that she like just like takes photos of and makes it
slaps around,
like basically like carries around with her and like has the Tiffany doll do funny shit and posts on her Instagram, and I think it's the funniest thing. She knows her niche, and now she's, which also, someone who is not into horror,
mm-hmm.
Jennifer Tilly becoming like pretty much a scream queen in her own right, like mm-hmm. is hilarious. That's awesome. To me.
That's just how good she was, like, well, honestly.
In the same way that, like, Jamie Lee Curtis isn't, like, super into horror movies.
No, but she's, like, the horror girl.
But she's, like, the one. Mm-hmm. She is the scream queen of scream queens.
Okay, I had to look her up as you were mentioning it.
Oh, what, Jennifer Tilly?
Yes, and she has the Tiffany doll in front of a turkey with a butcher knife. This is so great.
Isn't it great?
And isn't she, like... still just beautiful.
Anthony is so enamored with Jennifer Tilly.
Like, God, that woman has aged wonderfully.
Yeah. Because Hollywood, baby.
Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills Girl.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Now, we're going to keep talking about Jennifer Tilly if we don't move on.
Go. Continue. Okay. Move on.
All right. I can't move on. I can't.
She's hot. We know.
I can't move on, Alex. No. All right. So, from a visual standpoint, what makes Bride of Chucky stand apart from the previous Chucky film? Or just in general, what kind of makes Chucky stand apart? Because it is a very different looking film than a lot of horror, I think, at its time.
I can't be, like, ultra-specific with, like, camera angles. I'm like, oh, they did this camera angle versus this camera angle. But, like, how it's shot is very visually distinctive from the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing on the director that they did, Ronnie Yu, he did great.
Yeah.
Like, I think it just, that distinctive difference really helps set it apart in that soft reboot sense. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it shows you have, like, an auteur versus, like, the workman people who did the previous Chucky movies who were just kind of doing a movie to do it, you know? With the exception of probably the first director, because he did a lot of other good horror movies, too. But even then, like, this is, like, way different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Memes?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of guilty of not seeing a complete, like, Child's Play movie, but I do remember the doll. I feel like in this one just feels better for some reason in terms of, like, scarier and more lifelike than the previous ones.
Yeah, so they definitely do better with, like, the special effects and then also stitching Chucky back together.
That's such a scary look.
Because in the second one, he gets rebuilt, but he's, like, melted and placed back.
He's, like, soldered normally.
Yeah, and he looks normal, but this is the one where he has, you know, the whole, like, the stitches across his face. And that would become kind of his staple look for the rest of the franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what, like, that's kind of what we get stuck with.
Yeah, it's very, like an homage to Frankenstein, too.
Yes, and that's kind of what they were going for. Also, love that the poster for this movie is, like, a direct ripoff of Scream.
It is. Oh, it so is.
It's a direct ripoff.
But it does feature Chucky and Tiffany pretty prominently, which I like.
Yeah, they're like,
both have equal space.
They're next to each other, yes. But the tech, like, the font and, like, the black and white, like, it's a ripoff
of Scream. It's cashing in.
Which I think they did on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it.
Yeah, I would say honestly though, like from a visual standpoint, it also has like you were saying, like it does kind of feel almost like a Hong Kong crime movie in some ways. Like, it's very dynamic, has a lot of good camera movements, but also it knows when to be still.
Good explosions, some good deaths.
Some very good explosions. Yes, and the deaths were graphic, like
good,
which I you know, we always love a nice graphic death in this one. Yeah.
That's a question we normally ask.
Mm-hmm. But also, why do you guys think audiences resonated so much with Bride of Chucky at the time? Considering that, like, the movies before, nobody really reacted in the same kind of way. Like, it actually was a lot more popular than the last two.
I have an answer for this, but I'm going to let someone else go first.
Memes, go.
I think maybe, like, kind of how, was it Kushner? Somebody said earlier that it does show, like, a different side of Chucky, how, like, yeah, he's an asshole, but I think he has, like, a soft side where he does kind of have a love interest now, and you kind of see that other side of him that you don't really normally see.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think that other franchises could have learned a thing or two and could have given him a 7-year break between fucking movies.
That's a good point, too. Yeah. No, I agree.
I'm just like, oh, just because we just recently covered Friday the 13th Part 4, I'm just like, we don't need a movie that comes out, like, the same year.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Like, I'm just... Rush jobs drive me nuts when it comes to horror films.
Give them time to miss it, you know?
Yeah, yes. You have to give them time to miss it. And I think this is definitely part of it. Like, at this point, Chucky's been gone for 7 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they're just like, he's back!
Stupid ass. The marketing was so like that. That's how
it was. Well, that was how it was for the third one.
Yeah.
The third... Remember the marketing posters for the third one? They were stupid.
They were stupid and funny.
They were funny. They were stupid. They were stupid and funny, but still stupid. But for this one, like, it was enough time had passed that they were able to kind of do the soft reboot thing, and not piss anyone off. Because if they had done that and it had been, like, you know, 8 months, people would have been pissed.
Well, to me, also, it comes at a very particular time in horror, where movies like Scream 2, Halloween H2O, like, all these, Like, everybody's getting to see a very meta take on slashy movies.
Yeah.
And you, the last Chucky movie, you know, wasn't great. And people had a knew a good Chucky, what a good Chucky movie was. Uh-huh. Like, Child's Play 1 and 2 were very good. And people knew that there was potential there. So I think when you get people wanting a good Chucky movie, knowing that there could be a good one, and having a new, refreshing time in horror, it's like the perfect storm of ingredients for people to be like, let's see their take on this.
I'm like flipping through my memory bank of Child's Play 1 and Child's Play 2, and I'm like, I don't remember particularly enjoying Child's Play 2, but I could, no. Like,
I probably said, I remember thinking it was
boring. I remember, like, yes, I'm not saying that it was, but I also, because Child's Play 1, like, just dragged on forever, and it took, like, forever for anything to happen, if I remember correctly.
It was a slow burn.
Yes, I did need to re-listen to the episodes to remember what my, what past me stance was.
Well, you've also changed a lot over the past couple years anyways, too.
It's so true. Yeah. I maybe am due for a rewatch, but I did love this movie, no matter what.
Chuckathon 10, it's good. Christmas.
Tis the season.
Yeah, I mean, it has been quite a hellish holiday, isn't it?
Why not to add a little bit of murder to it? It'll be fine.
Great.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, okay, so which other horror icon would you like to see a crossover with in a future Chucky movie?
So like a Freddy versus Jason type scenario?
Like a versus scenario.
Let's do... Why not Michael Myers?
Oh my god.
The Shape himself trying to just... I just imagine him slowly walking and then, like, Chucky just, like, running around real fast, just like, can't catch me, motherfucker.
But they both kind of have, like, that hair, so...
Oh my god. You know. They do. They both kind of... They're wow.
Maybe, like, who wore it best, you know? It stole my look.
And they both wield, like, a very similar weapon. It'd be fun. I can see Michael Myers versus Chucky.
Hmm.
Yeah, overalls versus... What's that other thing?
Like jumpsuit.
Jumpsuit. Utility jumpsuit thing. Yeah. See it?
I can see it.
All right, what about you? What you thinking?
Chucky versus the leprechaun.
Oh, that's...
I need
two... That's a height there.
Yeah, I need two short kings to just battle it out.
Oh my god, Chucky, I remember seeing an interview and somebody brought that to Mancini, and he was like, that's the most obvious one. Like, he was a little, like, offended.
It's funny, though.
It is.
What do you think, Anthony?
Chucky versus Freddy Krueger. Give me two smart asses. Give me two smart asses.
Oh, two snarky bitches?
Yes, exactly.
Alright.
One that only exclusively attacks in people's dreams, and then one that's very good about, you know, killing people who are sleeping.
Alright.
Can we just make another Terminator movie and just do Chucky versus the Terminator?
Oh my god, that would be brilliant.
I just watched, it's not horror, but I just watched the recent Terminator movie, and I don't even know what it was called, but it was very, like, strong female leads in that one, so.
Oh, the one that, like, just came out.
Yeah, and they brought back Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was awesome.
Yes. Did you like it?
I really kind of liked it.
Okay, fair enough. I've only seen, like, maybe one or two Terminator movies. Like, I don't...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just throw a Terminator in there. Why not?
I know, whatever.
I would love that, dude. Send Chucky back in time, though, to kill John Connor.
Okay, so second round. So you say Terminator. Second round, Ghostface.
Oh, my God. Chucky versus Ghostface?
Yeah.
And he's like...
No, but like, Scream 1 Ghostface. Yeah.
How would that work? Like killings are happening, and Chucky's using the cover of, like, oh, it's the Ghostface killer's back, but Chucky's actually doing it?
Yeah.
That's fun. Okay, that's a little mystery movie right there. Uh-huh. You know what? We'll just get real off the wall here. Chucky versus Hannibal Lecter. The smartest...
I love that.
Right?
That's great.
He's just like, I need a butcher.
I need me a butcher. That is hilarious. Oh, I love that. How would that even work?
No, they're on a team.
So they're tag teaming.
They're tag teaming. Lecter with his Lecter fucking mask and Chucky on his shoulder. Alcohol instead of fucking drink.
I just imagine Chucky, like, holding on to the back of Hannibal Lecter, like, on the back of his mask or something, and they're just, like, walking through, stalking in the night.
Good duo. Yeah, I like that.
Or, like, you know, you get that one, what's the, when people have a turkey and they have that little cover over it, the little metal one, and you reveal it, and it's actually just Chucky underneath there with the knife.
That is ridiculous.
It's so goofy. It will work. Awesome.
It would work.
I'll allow it.
What about Chucky versus the birds in the birds?
Chucky just birds. Versus birds.
The birds would outnumber him.
The birds would just swarm him and pick him up. The birds would win. I think that's the only situation in which the birds would win, or the other person would win.
Oh my god, but what if like the flock of, like it's like a massive flock of birds, right?
I thought you were going to say flock of seagulls and I was about to kill you.
A massive flock of birds carries Chucky around with the intention of killing him, obviously. Uh-huh. But Chucky learned that if he kills a couple on this side, whatever it is, he can actually make the birds move around how he wants them. And it's like just Chucky inside a flock of birds flying to where he wants to kill people. It'd be great.
No.
No? That convoluted mechanism does not appeal to you.
No, that's too extra.
On, or bird the birds would win and they'd like pluck out Chucky's eyes.
Oh! A blind Chucky with an army of birds. Let's do it. This is so stupid.
That's too much.
This is really ridiculous.
No, it's, I like how it's getting worse.
Oh, I still want the Terminator.
I think Terminator is a good scenario.
I agree.
Oh my god. So, ranking here. How would you rank this? Of the Chucky movies that you guys have seen, where does this come
from? Well, Memes hasn't seen a single one through, so...
I can't read it.
Out of the four that...
She's like, number one, yes!
Well, okay. So we're not including Seed of Chucky in this, right?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that one. Well, I think this is the most complete franchise that I've seen. Like, I think I've seen all of them.
Curse and Cult, too, huh?
I've seen Curse and Cult. So you'd think I'd be a lot more into Chucky, considering that I've seen all of the movies.
You've seen more than your favorite franchise, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is weird. But whatever. out of the four, I would say... Based off of my vague recollection and what, you know, the blanks that you filled in for me. 4-2.
Are you going backwards here?
No, my favorite to least, like...
Oh, your favorite to least favorite.
Yeah, this is my favorite so far.
Okay.
So, 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
1-3.
Okay. I can respect that one. I can respect that. I would say least favorite 3. And then the rest of the 3 can honestly be interchanged. So I'm just going to go ahead and say I like this more than 1. So 3-1, Bride 2.
Okay.
Yeah, give me 2. 2 is your favorite. Pure old school Chucky. 2 is like right, you know, kind of perfect balance. Mm-hmm. 1 is really good. It's just more Hitchcock than it is like
a Chucky remember movie. Someone getting shot with a live round in 3 on accident because Chucky exchanged fake bullets.
Oh, with real
bullets. And it was stupid.
It was fun,
but it was stupid. Like, this is fun, but not stupid. You know what
I mean? It's fun, yeah, exactly.
And then 3 is just stupid but...
I agree. There you go. Stupid and stupid.
So stupid.
Yeah.
You should make a chart so we can, like, a reading.
It's true. I should make an alignment chart of, like, the...
With different Chucky designs.
But also, like it would be, like, ridiculous and stupid. That's the chart, ridiculous and stupid. And ridiculous and stupid is Seed of Chucky.
Yes. Okay, there you go.
Stupid and stupid is 3. I can make this chart, and I probably will later.
Do it. We'll post
it on Instagram.
There you go. All right, now, what was your guys' best kill of the film?
The glass. Like, when she tosses the champagne bottle into the roof or the ceiling of the honeymoon suite, and then just a champagne or just a freaking thing of glass just... That was good.
I dig it.
The dolls fuck, but that's, you know.
I kind of like the scene in the van where the nails shoot out at John Ritter's face.
Mm-hmm. That was my kill.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, the most creative, and that's when Tiffany is just like, you have to get more creative with your kills.
You're stuck in the 80s.
You're stuck in the 80s. Yeah. No one uses a knife anymore. And little Chucky is just like... Sometimes you just gotta stick with the classics.
That was great.
No, that's mine also. I'm gonna go, yeah. I like the John Ritter kill.
Quick consensus.
I do also like the second time he goes to kill him, when he's just like... But he has that weird sliding shot where he's just like laughing and running towards the body. Like, I thought that was fucking cool.
That's good.
Yeah. And let's see. So what would we rate Bride of Chucky out of 5 doll sex scenes?
Three and a half.
Three and a half?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'd say like a solid 3.5.
God, you know what? I think we're all in consensus here. I'm 3.5 wow. This right now.
You were 3.5 last week.
Yep, 3.5 this week too. Because it's good. It's very good.
Yeah.
Not the best, but still good.
And still pretty good.
Just, yeah, like ridiculous, but hilarious too. Mm-hmm. Like when Tiffany convinces the neighbor, like does he live in a trailer too or something?
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
Convinces him to like take these dolls to a cemetery or something.
Yeah, because they need to get to his where he's buried.
Wait, can we also dig in? $1,000. They're gonna start their whole life over for $1,000.
Okay, I'm so glad you brought this up because I wanted to bring this up. I don't even think. How much was $1,000 in 19... Okay, let's call it 19, because this came out...
98.
In 98. So let's call it 1997. Mm-hmm. $1,000 in 1997 is how much now? Hmm. Okay, not enough.
How much?
$1,622.
You cannot start your life with this.
No. If someone gave me $1,000, I would have just been like, great, my bills are paid. Like
some of my bills are paid.
Right, not even my rent.
Yeah.
Like rent notwithstanding. Like
yeah. I'm sure they could like live the van life for a while.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's the thing. It's like he's just like, I'm gonna put a down payment on a apartment. I'm gonna find me a job. I was like, what world are you living in? And so $1,000.
Going to LA too?
No, they were like, oh God, I hope not.
I thought he wanted to go there.
But no, and $1,000 in 1997 is equivalent to the purchasing power of $1,622 in 2020. Mm. That is bullshit.
Dumb goddamn teenagers.
Well, he's not a teenager. That's the other thing I wanted to point out.
Huh?
No. Katherine Heigl is a teenager. She is in high school. The boyfriend is not. He lives alone. He lives in a trailer park.
He might go to jail.
She is jail bait.
Ew.
What kind of... Okay.
There's a lot... Like, if you think too much about this movie, there's a lot to nitpick.
Didn't age well.
No. But no, Nick Stable. Because Jennifer Tilly openly hits on him.
Oh, yeah, she's like pining for him.
She's like, and like, so at that point, that leads me to believe that he's legal. He is over 18, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Katherine Heigl.
Maybe he's like a super senior or something.
God,
that's
I hope
possible.
So.
That's possible.
I can only pray that he's a super senior. Because Katherine Heigl's character... Specifically, I know for a fact is under 18 because John Ritter is like, the second you turn 18, you're not my fucking problem. I don't have to deal with your bullshit.
Oh, sweet stash story, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
That is some sweet set. Yeah, he's going to jail.
Unless they're in like one of those states where it's like.
Well, technically,
consent is like 12.
That's possible. That's possible. Hey, lots of trailers around there.
They're. Okay, chill out. Where are they? Because they're somewhere by New Jersey.
Oh, shit. I don't even know.
They're on the East Coast somewhere.
You're right.
Also, they're married.
Yeah.
So she's if they 17. Fuck, it's fine because they're married.
Huh.
Oh, gosh.
Not only that, the most offensive part here, he only got $500.
Right. Let's circle back because, like, truly, if someone he only got $500 to start his life over, and he was like, "Wow, golly gee, $500 whole dollars!" Like,
he had to be a super senior to think that was a good fucking move.
Yeah,
and then Katherine Heigl is this doughy little teenager was just like, "Where'd you get all this money?" I was like, "It's like I was screaming at the fucking television. God. I was screaming. I was just like." What do you mean? It's $500. I can go get you $500 right now.
He's like, I had the bank turn it into fives, baby. We are stacked.
That'll get you a closet in Orange County.
That'll get you half a closet in Orange County.
Half a closet, definitely.
Oh my gosh. Like, that won't even get you a room in Orange County.
No, not at all.
You could, like, rent, like, you could share a room in Orange County for $500.
What's the value of their
for
love?
A month.
Of their love, Alex.
I don't give a shit. God, you reminded me of that, and now my blood is boiling.
I know, I can see it in your fucking face right now. You're not seeing this, but she's pissed off about the lack of economic education, really.
Oh! $10,000 and thinks, wow.
The same kids that got roped into being these, like, cross-country murderers by just circumstance.
And who doesn't think that it's weird to transport these, like, scary-looking dolls? Like, no questions asked.
Across state lines.
And it's like, in the film universe, Chucky's a part of the culture.
People know who he is.
Ugh.
They're idiots.
Still 3.5 stars because of Jennifer Tilly, at least. Mm-hmm. All right, so, did we do it?
I think we did. Okay. I gotta calm down.
Calm down. Calm down, Webster. Jesus fucking Christ.
Okay, everyone. That was Bride of Chucky from 1998. Written by Don Mancini and directed by Ronnie Yu. Thank you so much, Memes, for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me. And can I do a little plug?
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Plug all your stuff.
Plug it.
Okay, thank you so much. So, actually, Alex was on my podcast, the Swatch of Horrors podcast, on the Halloween episode.
Yes.
If you go to my Instagram, Swatch of Horrors, it's the only Halloween-looking cover art. So woo! Thanks for joining on that episode. You can hear Alex there. So my podcast is about beauty horror stories told by beauty professionals. So I used to be a makeup artist, so a little bit different horror there, but still in the horror realm of... You'll hear all the, like, awful things that we've experienced from client behavior, really bad situations, and how we get out of them. And it's a whole other side of beauty that people don't really know exists. But yeah, check it out. And thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun watching the movie, or the parts that I did watch. And just, like, it was funny because as we're recording right now, I was like, it sounds like I'm listening to their podcast. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm in their podcast.
You could interject anytime.
Oh, yeah. The call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah, it was very much that. So
that's awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. And where can people find your podcast?
Oh, that's right. If it's really anywhere. So if you just look up Swatch of Horrors, or you can just go to the Swatch of Horrors Instagram. You can click the link in the bio and it'll take you to Apple, to Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think that's it for this week.
Next week. What do we got next week?
Next week, we are covering one of my personal favorites. It's one of the rarities of a horror film that I have seen that Anthony hasn't, so I'm really excited to cover it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, shit. Everybody's been begging me to watch this one.
It's true. And I'm so excited that he finally gets to watch it and we get to talk about it. We also get to cover a very contemporary, very weird director that we've never covered on the podcast.
Strangely, after three years.
After almost 3 years, yeah. Well, two-ish. Two and change.
Yeah, two and change. There you go. I like that.
But yeah, so join us next week for that. It's going to be fun and it's going to be dark. But it'll be fun, as always. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes, as well as writing us a review. Those reviews I read them when I'm sad, so...
Yeah, me too.
And then also, if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We are on Twitter and Facebook at Horror People Pod. Sorry. And you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE, People's Podcast. And then if you would like to find Anthony, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And then if you would like to find me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And then also make sure you follow the Swatch of Horrors podcast on Instagram. And you can just find them there. And thank you so much, Memes, for joining us. It was so much fun.
Yay.
And until next week, don't summon any ex-boyfriends via voodoo.
Oh, also, don't revamp your whole life for $1,000.
Yeah, you can't. You can't redesign your life with $1,000. Well, I'm sorry.
You might if you leave the country. Depending on what country you go to, it might be doable. But
if you go to the Midwest, maybe.
That's true because you can rent like a house for like what $500.
Yeah, you can rent an apartment for like $500 and.
Hyperbolic, but I think that might be true.
No, I'm not. But yeah, don't do that. And
listen to Swatch of Horrors.
Bye.